Welcome to this week's episode of
Hey, I think we're good here.
I'm one of your co-hosts, Jackson Metakekia.
And I'm Matt West. And we're here getting to know the sport of volleyball through the life experiences our guests have to share with us. Come take a listen. Today we'll be talking to all-time great Wildcat and current national team member Maddie Kingdon about her growth as an attacker and as a teammate. How to go about and choose, break it down by shapes and sizes. I'm a man who's got very specific taste.
There she is.
Yo.
What is up?
What's up, buddy?
You guys, will these be okay? It's quiet in here, I think.
Well, dude, let's get it going.
All right.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the podcast.
I'm not a volley nerd, though, either, so I'm, like, a little bit nervous because you guys are, like, love volleyball.
You love volleyball a little bit.
I love volleyball, but, like, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
But the deal with this isn't necessarily – you're not, like, spitting volleyball facts or knowledge. You're just telling –
That's true.
You're just telling your story, and if there's some volleyball involved, there's some volleyball involved.
Okay, that's true. There should be a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, this first
like
question –
like, at least a decade of it.
This first question is going to be volleyball-related. Like, who would have thought, you know? Why volleyball? What got you started?
Well, actually, volleyball wasn't, like, my first love or my first sport. It actually was the last one. So, I started out swimming when I was, like, really, really little. And I was a state championship swimmer when I was, like, 8 years old. And then after swimming, I did
basketball.
Wait,
what races?
The breaststroke. I was a state champ breaststroker when I was, like, 8. Yeah, so I was like, I love swimming. It's all I want to do. And then I switched to basketball. And basketball, my dad, like, we would always just hoop in the driveway at my house. And my dad just really pushed me to play basketball. So then I was into basketball. And then I really just kind of followed where, like, my friends were. Because I just liked being around my friends, yeah. And I only have a brother, so I don't have sisters. And it was like, this is a way to be with the girls and with, you know, like, almost my sisters. And then after that, I did gymnastics and I did softball. And volleyball was last.
How old were you when you started playing volleyball?
I was 14.
Did you just hop right into club, or was there, like, any kind of initiation before club?
Initiation. No, but I was actually playing basketball. And then this mom, who, like, one of my good friends, she also played basketball with me. And then she played club volleyball, too. And so this girl's mom was like, you should play club volleyball. And she would always tell my dad. And my dad was like, stop asking. Like, I don't want you to play volleyball. And I was like, Dad, like, I really want to play. All my friends were playing club. And on the weekends, like, they had these tournaments. And I was like, I just want to be hanging out with my friends on the weekends. And so this mom, like, kept pushing my dad. And he was like, okay, you can play club, but you have to play basketball. And I was, like, over basketball at this point. So he, like, forced me to play basketball while I did club and, like, middle school volleyball.
Decent.
So it was, like, a little, like, give and take.
Yeah, but that's, like, it's a really fast progression because, like, Micah started playing at 8. Maddie grew up playing,
like,
straight
I
out of the
never...
womb. You know what I mean?
No, like, I wasn't a gym rat at all with volleyball, like, I guess from a young age, you know, I just wasn't introduced to it ever, and I started, like, really late. I was a middle when I first started, too, so, like, I had a year of playing middle, so I guess I didn't, like, start being outside, honestly, until, like, my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
But you're a good case study for multi-sport athlete.
Yeah, like, I liked basketball. It was okay. And then softball, I thought I was going to go to college playing softball because I, like, have a cannon of an arm. And I think that's, like, what has gotten me pretty far in volleyball, honestly, too. But in softball, I could throw to second base. So I was a catcher. And I was, like, the only person who could, like, pick someone off at second base, like, stealing second. So I was like, this is my jam. I love softball. But at our high school, I couldn't do, like, I think softball season and club volleyball season, like, overlapped.
Yeah.
And I couldn't miss softball to go to club volleyball practice. And my parents were like, well, I went to a public high school. We weren't paying for softball. So they were like, we're not going to pay for you to do club volleyball, like, if you're going to miss it for softball. So you got to pick one or the other. So then I just picked volleyball because, like, that's what all my good friends were doing. And I was like, I like this one more too. And all my homies are doing this. I want to be here. Like, I'm committed to volleyball.
So
and then I chose it. So from high school on, freshman year on, I was just only volleyball.
What was the turning point where you didn't even, you were like, even if my friends quit, I would still play this sport. You know what I mean?
I kind of just saw, like, the progression of my game and that I was, like, excelling a little bit quicker than other people. And I was like, wow, like, I'm getting good, like, fast. You know, like, there were girls, like what you said, girls that had been playing since they were, like, 9 or 10. And then I was closing that gap pretty quickly. And I was like, I'm like, pretty decent at this. And I really enjoy playing. So I, like, devoted from freshman year of high school, like, all of my time to just playing volleyball whenever I could. For me, like, I owe everything to my first coach I had playing club because she, like, built me into something when I was basically nothing.
What's her name?
Her name's Terry Spann, but her name, when she played at Arizona State, and her name is Terry Cox. Okay. She's a homie. I think she deserves a shout out.
What did you like the most when you were younger about volleyball?
Hitting. Just is like it, hitting the ball as hard as I could.
Is it still exactly the same now?
Yeah, there's, I mean, I like hitting, but then I think just because I am a hitter, like, I know the feeling of when somebody digs, like, your best hit is, like, the worst feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think I like defending that ball too. Like, when someone is hitting their heaviest ball, I like being the defender that digs it. Cause I'm like, okay, like, you can, that's all you have, you know? And cause I hate that feeling when someone digs me. And so I like to, I really like defense.
So how nice is it when you, like, dig somebody in position 4 when they're hitting sharp cross and then they set you in trans and then you hit it sharp cross and then you get the kill?
Best feeling.
The best feeling in the world, huh?
It's like the best feeling. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's a pretty good feeling. Cause that's like, I mean, if someone's hitting 4-4, like, they're crushing that ball. That's not, you don't have a lot of space to hit. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a pretty good feeling, I'd say.
So then as you mature and evolve as a volleyball player in high school, at what point in time, when do you start getting recruited? And then, and you were in the USA pipeline growing up too, right?
Like, not really, honestly. I didn't do a lot of, like, high performance USA pipeline stuff. I just, I don't know, like, I feel like I started a little bit too, or, like, in my opinion, like, I just started too late. And I just was never involved. Or, like, my parents didn't really push it on me either. It was always like, I don't know, like, some of my friends are like, I'm going to USA, like, high performance camp. And I was like, have fun. You know, like, it just didn't really, I just wanted to, like, play. And I didn't know what it meant, you know? Yeah. I was just playing, like, wherever I could, whenever I could, but I didn't know what that meant. So I really wasn't in the pipeline. Like, my, my first USA thing wasn't until, like, my freshman year of college. Maybe before that, when I was asked to be on the junior national team.
Yeah.
But then I ended up getting hurt and I couldn't go. So, like, my first look at the national team wasn't until, like, A2 stuff at adult nationals.
So how did you get recruited? Or how old were you?
Dave,
how did this happen?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a strange thing. But so I committed to Arizona my sophomore year of high school.
So you've been playing volleyball for all of, like, 2.5 years at this,
like,
point?
2.5. Yeah. And I started as a middle, like, yeah, I don't know how any of this happened, but Dave Rubio from Arizona, like, would come and watch. I don't even know, like, how he saw me or found out about me or anything, but, like, I got letters from people, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm starting to get letters, cool. And then, like, Dave Rubio from Arizona would, like, come to every single club volleyball match I played, and he was just, like, really into, like, talking to me, talking to my family, like, making his presence known, being like, hey, we're watching, you did a great job, whatever. Like, he was just there, you know? And so when it came down to like choosing a school, I was choosing between Colorado State and Arizona. And I was just like, I feel like a part of a family already at Arizona. And it just felt like the right decision.
Yeah. And you're born and raised Arizona kid too.
Yeah. But neither one of my parents actually went to college. My grandma went to Arizona State and that was like the extent of it. And like no one, I had no connections to Arizona at all. And like no one had played volleyball there that I knew, nothing. But I just like in my heart, it just felt right. And I was like, this is the school for me. So yeah, that's kind of how I chose. But I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I just started playing volleyball. You're going to offer me like free school. And they had this baller. Her name was Tiffany Owens. And she was going to be a senior, or she was going to graduate. And I would have to like come fill her role basically. And so I was also kind of being offered like a starting spot. And I was like, this is kind of a dream come true. You know, like I want to selfishly, like I want to play. So I don't know.
Yeah, it just all right worked place, out. Right time.
Exactly. Dude, but then quitting, I actually ended up, what's that?
I was going to say quitting softball must have felt so good at that point in time. You're like, I made the right choice.
Yeah. But then like, I also felt like, I don't know, when I was making that decision, I was like, this is really hard. Cause like, I feel like I'm pretty good at softball, you know, like I could do
for sure.
I could go to school for softball. And our softball team was good at my high school too. But then my high school team, my volleyball team was like amazing. So usually freshmen didn't make the varsity team. It just like, wasn't a thing. And me and my other good friend who played together in club ended up making the varsity team as freshmen. And that was when I was like, okay, this like I actually am like this kind of validated that I actually am like kind of good. So I don't know, volleyball is definitely the right choice. Obviously it's panning out.
Yeah, it's clearly panned out so far.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. And I graduated from high school early and I went to Arizona early. So I went a spring, I went for spring of 2011, and then I started my actual time in fall 2011.
So you graduated to high school a semester early?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that?
Because like I said, I was supposed to go in and take like fill a role. And so they wanted me to come train so that I would be more prepared like in their system to start my freshman season.
Was there any sense? Sorry, go ahead, Jackson.
How was that semester for you? Because selfishly, we have a girl at Nevada right now who did the same thing, and mm-hmm. she just got done with that semester. What were the benefits for you doing that?
Well, for me, my freshman class that I was supposed to come in, there were 8 of us. So for me, it was like one, really good for me to just get like help from my coaches that, you know, to just get me to the level I needed to be at. And it was basically like one-on-one coaching, because you get to set those like individual hours, you know, with just, it was like just the coaches and me. So yeah. I got a lot of attention there with just reps, and also just integrating with the older girls. Like I made friendships with those girls instead of them having to make friendships with 8 freshmen. Like I got to make friendships and it was just me. So I was like really close with all those girls before all the other freshmen got there. So I guess I kind of had like a little bit of a leg up, which in my opinion was nice.
Was it overwhelming at all? Like going from, I mean, obviously you play like a high level of club volleyball, but a lot of those girls that are like playing Pac-12 or Big Ten or whatever, or grow up in the USA pipeline. So they're used to each other. They know each other really well. Was it overwhelming to go into like that kind of atmosphere of like, wow, there's like all these good people in Arizona. I'm not really used to this. I'm a 17-year-old, like, and I'm just kind of walking in. Or did you already feel like you're just that competitive, or like, I don't care. I'm just here to learn.
Yeah. Like I felt like I kind of had a chip on my shoulder going in a little bit, because I was like, okay, I'm coming off this pretty good high school career. Like I feel good about it. And then I remember the first day of sixes at preseason, and Dominique Lamb, she was like a baller middle blocker from Arizona, and I like went up to just like kill a ball and she blocked me straight down, and it happened like 3 times in a row, and I was like, okay, I'm not like in high school anymore and I have a lot to learn. And that was like a really humbling moment for me. So I walked in thinking I was going to do like really well. And then I realized quickly that like I still had a lot to learn. But everyone was super helpful with it. And they all got me to where I needed to be by the time season rolled around.
Aside from that being a humbling experience, is there like one lesson that you learned in that one training block that you felt like resonated with the rest of your career? Where like this, I'm never going to forget this.
Well, I only wanted to hit balls as hard as I could. I mean, you've said this before that I only have two speeds, hard and harder.
Yeah, that's true. And
all I want to ever do is like when I went my first semester, like I just wanted to hit the ball straight down as hard as I could. And I remember Dave Rubio, he was just like really good with teaching me that like I needed to have a toolkit when I was attacking. And the biggest lesson I learned was that I was going to have to hit with range because like I am an undersized outside.
For sure.
So I think that that was like a really big lesson for me. And it honestly, like, I think it took me a couple of years to learn, but he was teaching that right when I got there. It just, I mean, my freshman year, I don't think I even grasped it like that quickly, but over time, I definitely was like, I needed to have more to my game than just hitting as hard as I can.
Not to jump ahead or anything, but I looked you up and you had a 57-point match pretty recently in your professional career.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of crossbody tips and shots to the middle of the court. So that toolkit has clearly developed quite a bit.
And I think it's had to.
Has that been a big focus for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that 57-point match was after, I think, my first season with the national team. And, like, going into the national gym, I realized quickly that, like, this, like, having this toolkit is going to be good for me, but I'm also going to have to get better with it because everyone is just so good. The blockers are amazing. Defense is amazing. Like, I have to find different ways to score. And so I took that, I think, into that season. But that match also was just an anomaly. I don't think that should happen to anybody. I mean, it's cool to say, but I don't think that should – I don't know. Having 57 points in a – I guess so. Well, they came up to me after, and they were like, do you know that you had 57 points? And I was like, excuse me, what?
You're like, no wonder I'm
so
tired.
That's why I can't feel my shoulder. Thank you. Yeah.
Was there a moment in your freshman season – well, I'm not saying, like, the toolkit came together, but – when you like in a match or practice where you're like, okay, I feel like I belong here now. Cause you said that girl just maimed you three times in a row. And that was pretty humbling. Not saying that like you didn't feel like you're like, oh, I'm a part of this team or anything, but it was like your coming out party kind of like, was there a match where you're like, that's right, I'm here. Like I'm in it.
Oh, freshman year.
Or did that come later?
I don't know. I mean, my freshman year is like such a blur, honestly. This is like 10 years ago. I don't even know how many years. No, I don't really feel like I had a moment, but I think that just over time, I gradually, I don't know, just got more comfortable playing and kind of being there. I think as you do with any team, but I can't pick a specific moment where I was like, this is the aha moment where I feel like it's all clicked.
Yeah, because everyone's like, you have people. Like, I remember mine where I was like, this is kind of like my coming out party, right? And then for other people, like you, for example, you're just like, I think I'm just coming into my own, like, game after game after game, you know? And like,
yeah, I think it was just a steady progression. Just a steady progression through games,
And did you end up starting your freshman year?
Yeah, I started all 4 years. The whole time. I don't know if there's a game I missed, but I don't know. It just like was what it was. And I just knew that I was going to be relied on in moments. And I remember one practice, like my setter, we were just hitting out of system balls and my setter set it kind of weird off the net. And I was like, oh man, like, can you set a little more inside, you know, like giving feedback. And my coach was like, you are the trash can of the court. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, you are an outside, you need to be able to hit every ball, any ball. Like, I don't care what it is. You're not always going to get the perfect set, but I need you to hit it in the court. I need you to score. And I was like, got it. Okay. And that was just like my job. And I knew that, and that was expected of me. So that was just the role that I took on for our team.
Is that your freshman year he told you this?
No, that was probably later because we had, I mean, we always had really good outsides and other attackers, but I don't know. I think that was probably like my sophomore year, I want to say. I don't know.
That's not that much later.
But it was early on. It was early on.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's not that much later. How did you develop mentally as the years went on of like, not necessarily like bestowing pressure or stress upon yourself to like execute this job, but like the burden felt like more and more. And did it take a toll on you mentally? Because for sure, physically, it takes a toll when you go from like 20 attempts a match to like 50.
Yeah.
But like mentally, where you're like, it's just my job. I accept this and this is who I am and whatever.
Well, for me, it was like, I knew that it was like a role I had, but I liked it. I liked the pressure and I liked what it was. It's like, okay, you're going to set me. That's fine. Like that's what every hitter wants, you know? But I don't think I'm also the type of person that will just like, if you ask me like, hey, how are you doing? I'd be like, I'm good. Like, it's fine. Whatever you're asking of me to do, I'm just going to do it. And I'm just going to like grind and work hard. And that's just, I don't know. I think it's how I've gotten this far, but I don't think it took a toll on me, but maybe it could have. And I just have been like suppressing that for years, but I think I enjoyed it mostly.
Was Dave pretty good about role clarity on your guys' team? Like each individual like understood, like I'm the blocking middle, I'm the attacking middle, like setter, you do this X, Y, Z, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think there was so much role clarity that while I was there, a lot of people went in and out of Arizona, but I think he was very specific with what he wanted and what he expected of people.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
It's just you'd rather have that.
And I
knew that
I was, I think so too. No, I really respect Dave, and I think that he, like, for me, he was a great coach. He taught me a lot about attacking for sure and just like fine tuning my game.
What's your biggest takeaway from him as not a volleyball coach, but just as a person?
Dave, I don't know. He's just like a stand up guy. I love Dave. Like I could call him now and be like, hey Dave, like how's it going? And we would just shoot the shit. And I don't know. I feel like I could just rely on him for anything. I could ask him anything. I could tell him anything. He's just a really, really good guy. I don't know. Like, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
It's pretty important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like someone that I could trust and come to with anything. Yeah. I don't know. He has three kids. So he was like kind of a dad to our whole team. And we would like go to dinner at his house and hang out with him. And he wanted to spend time with us. He wanted to like know how we were doing. I don't know. He was just like involved and just there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
Do you ever feel like he gave you, just you personally, not necessarily your team, do you ever feel like he gave you too much freedom? And he should have like reeled you in a little bit more and be like, hey, Maddie, relax. Like, I need you to do this, this, and this more. Or was he pretty good about that? And it was like a fair balance of be yourself, but I need you to do this for the team.
I think for me, he probably could have reeled me in a little bit more. And I don't know, like volleyball wise, when I first got there and probably like the first couple of years, I would make a lot of errors because I was like, I just want to hit and I'm going to do whatever I want. And he wouldn't pull me. I don't know. I think that there were times when he could have been like taught me a lesson a little bit, but he never did. And then like for me later in my years, leadership wise, I think he could have asked more of me because I was just like kind of a lead by example type of player. Like, okay, I'm playing well. I expect everyone to kind of, or like if our team is like, I expected a level out of everyone, but I wasn't like super vocal about it. And I think a lot of other players like demand things verbally from people. And I have this feeling like, okay, I'm going to show by example. I'm going to just work really hard in practice, in the weight room, whatever. But I think he could have asked more of me, like as just a better leader and teammate later in my years.
Do you have any regret in that regard as a leader in like your last 2 years? Because that's kind of when it's like, it's your show. would that be like your only regret essentially is like, I wish I would have displayed more communication to my teammates and demanded bit more out of them?
Yeah, and not demanded more, but I just wish that, like, especially now, like being on the national team and just seeing how important relationships are and how much those affect, you know, like the game. I wish I would have been so much more aware of that when I was at Arizona with my own team. Because I was like, I knew I had like, okay, my senior year, this is my last year. These new freshmen, they have four more years. Like, do I need to make this relationship? I don't know. Like, I wasn't thinking about those things. I was just like, I'm going to play. I need to do my job. But I just wish that I would have been more aware of those, the importance of those relationships.
Yeah. I got called out for that my junior year because I was like, I was so worried about the seven.
Yeah.
Right. And I was just like, this is the team that's going to take us to a championship. Not that you guys aren't important, but like in 4 years, five of us had never come off the court. And the other two, we just needed you to like be a part of this. Really, really, like it's really, really important that you know what we ask of you. And the rest of you, cheer us on.
Yeah.
And then by the time, you know, by the time I was a senior and I kind of like sat down and looked at Firestone Fieldhouse and like the dojo, I was like, wow, it's kind of a dick. I probably, not that I should have like accepted everybody more because I liked all of them. I wasn't like a jackass to anybody, but I was like, I probably should have thought more of the team and demanded the team to do this, not just X amount of people to follow.
Right. Yeah, I feel exactly the same. I just could have done more. Like I also felt like I was doing like a lot physically. So I was like, yeah, well, I'm doing all this. Like, do I need to be doing this other part? But like as a leader, I definitely should have been. And in hindsight, I wish I would have done it, but hindsight's 2020, right?
It's interesting that you bring that up because I think every person we have interviewed has said something about demanding more of others along their journey.
Yeah.
Like they've all been like, I think at this point in time, I wish I would have demanded more of myself or demanded more of my teammates or blah, blah, blah. And then when they hit that point where they're like, I was demanding, I was kind of a dick, I was kind of an asshole. Like it wasn't, probably wasn't a great look for me, but it was my team. And like, I took us to the promised land.
Yeah.
And won, you know?
Exactly.
It's just really hard when you're young to like accept that I'm probably not going to be well-liked at times, but it's not personal.
Right.
It's just, I just need you to do this.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's, yeah, it's really hard for me too, because like I used to hate conflict. So I would be like, okay, I don't honestly, if like, if I have a problem with you, I don't want to really talk to you about it. And now I'm like, you should have just said something and then we could have been so much better. But
for sure.
Yeah.
That's just called learning and growing.
Exactly. Here we are.
And here we are. So then, sorry, Jax, go ahead.
So for me, I personally went from junior college to Division I volleyball, and you went from Division I volleyball to professional and national team. And I know for me, the adjustment was real tough. What were the tough parts about making that adjustment for you?
Especially going to Azerbaijan.
I know.
A culture shock.
Well, okay, I'll say this first. I didn't even think I was going to play pro volleyball. Like, I didn't know what it was, who did it, what was going on. And, like, my initial offer was from a team in, I think, Sweden or Switzerland. And I was like, this, like, I want to do it. I'm kind of half in, half out. I don't know. And it, like, wasn't, I don't know, it just wasn't vibing with me, the offer that I had. And so I was like, I'm going to just play beach volleyball, I think. And I had moved to Hermosa that summer. And then I was just kind of hanging out there for a while, like 2 months I was in Hermosa. And then I get this offer to go to Azerbaijan. I was like, one, I need to Google where this is. Two, like now I have to consider if I want to go to a place that like I've never heard of before. But I like did some research, knew they had a good league. And then Haley Eckerman was actually on my team.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I have another American. There was another older American. Her name is Jessica Jones. She played at Minnesota, like, back in the day. And I messaged her, and I was like, hey, can you tell me some stuff? And she had played in Azerbaijan before. So She was like, this is this, X, Y, Z. And I was like, okay, I think I can do this. But I was absolutely scared shitless. Like, I was scared flying there. I was like, I asked them, I was like, can you put me on a flight with Haley Eckerman so that we can go out there together? Because I have no idea where I'm going and I don't know what I'm doing. So,
oh, and like the icing on top, or like the cherry on top, is you're an Arizona born kid. You go to Arizona, you haven't left at all, and now you're going to the next A in your life, the next AZ in your life, Azerbaijan.
Exactly. I've had like a really weird route of professional seasons, but my setter was Nut Sara, the Thai setter. Sick. And she's, oh my God, she made me look so good. I was like, people can set like this? Are you, yeah. What? And I think for me, passing the ball is difficult. The
Mikasa.
It's just like totally different. And I had, oh, I didn't like think about it at all. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go play whatever, do my best. But I think for me, the biggest challenge was passing. And then that, after that season, was when I got invited to come train with the national team. And then I realized that passing was like a huge deal. And that has been like my focus for the last 4 or 5 years. So yeah, I didn't really round out my game. It's a little important. Yeah. But I definitely realized that there, I was like, okay, I can win or lose games if people are serving me. And I'm like, if I'm not passing well, we're not going to do great. But, and then I also realized that because we had some like other obviously great outside hitters, we had Fefa, she's Puerto Rican. She's been on the Puerto Rican national team for a while. And Stephanie Enright, we call her Fefa. And she was like a great outside. And we had an Azerbaijani outside who was incredible. And like by the grace of God, somehow I beat Fefa out to play. And I was like, okay, this is the first time I've really had to work for my spot. And I had to like show that I could actually do it. And then I was getting pulled sometimes, you know, because obviously I'd have good games and bad games, but it was just like a little bit different. Passing wise was different. And then that was different because I had gone to Arizona and just like not had a care in the world. You know, I kind of knew like I had to play and I had to perform. And then when I went to Azerbaijan, I was like second guessing myself. When I would get pulled, I'd be like, am I good enough to be here? What am I doing? Can I do this? And I kind of had to learn how to just be my own cheerleader.
What made you pull your head out of your ass in like those moments? Is it just reflecting on the good times, or did you just go back to work and rep it out, or?
Yeah, I think it was mostly just reps, and I got a lot of reps there. But I think, yeah, I don't know. I just had to like tell myself like, okay, hey, you can do this. You've been in this situation before. You are a good volleyball player. I just had to keep reminding myself, honestly, that like I knew how to play volleyball and like I had the right to be there and I had worked hard to be there. So, and I also had a coach who was like really cool. He believed in me and he was like, if I was having a rough day, he'd be like, hey, like, we need you. I know you can do this. And I was like, okay, that's like exactly what I needed to hear. And I kind of figured out like what feedback I needed from a coach. And then it was like, okay, I can also tell myself these things as feedback to myself. And like, it'll make me play a little bit better and it'll put me in a better mental frame.
For sure. I think one thing a majority of the population doesn't understand, and like the volleyball community, is once you leave to go abroad, you're alone.
Yeah.
You know, like you're 9, 10, 12 hours away, like in a different time zone. And it's not like you can just hop on a flight for a weekend and go see mom and dad and have like a home cooked meal.
Yeah. And you're, I was planning
it,
a wedding.
You know? Yeah. You're in it for 9 months.
And you were planning a wedding.
I was planning a wedding my first season abroad. So I was just like, oh my God, like what is life? I don't know what I'm doing. Is this the right decision?
Yeah. And you're just you're a 21-year-old kid. Then you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do or if I'm doing the right thing. And it's just time and investment. You're like, this is my life. Yeah. This isn't just volleyball. Yeah. This is my life now.
And it's such a weird lifestyle too. And then I'd come home, people would be like, so like, what have you been up to? And I was like, I played professionally in Azerbaijan. And they'd be like, excuse me, where? And I was like, I'll show you on Google.
Yeah. And everybody thinks you're like studying abroad. They're like, oh, did you travel on the weekends? Did you meet all these people? What kind of beers did you have? It's like, no, that's not how it works.
I had a double day.
Yeah.
I had a double day every single day.
Yeah, for the last 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But we ended up winning the championship that year. We had such a cool team. Like, my whole team was pretty much foreigners. We had three girls who were Azerbaijani. So, I don't know. It was just a really, really fun experience team-wise. We just had a lot of great girls.
So in the following year, you went to Korea?
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Yeah. Well, first off, how did you get there? Did you have to get in to the draft?
Yeah.
And yeah, they're just like, so, this girl looks like she could kill some balls. We'll take her.
No, actually, they like cut up the draft. So the, okay. And how the draft was, it was really strange. Like it's all hitters, right?
Yeah.
It's all like outside their opposites. So we just like played like rotational, like everyone played every position. You just rotated and you played everywhere. So like I was hitting out of the middle. I was hitting as opposite. Like, it was just so weird, the tryout style. Anyway, and then so we
where
just
was the tryout
like,
that year? Was it in Anaheim?
It was at ASC. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so I tried out, and they would like cut up the group into groups of eight, and then you would go into like the back room, you know, at ASC where you have like team meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
And they would interview people, and like they would be like the panel of all the coaches, and they would just ask questions. And the only question that I got asked was like, what is your favorite part of volleyball? And I was like, I like to play defense. And we're all hitters. And they were like, what makes you different? I don't even know. And all I remember saying was like, I love to play defense. Like, other than attacking, I just want to play defense.
And the Asian volleyball community was like, we love her.
Yeah. And then like the draft is happening. I'm like sweating bullets. They draft six people. They're on the sixth pick, and I haven't been picked. And I was like, damn, I'm going to have to look for a job. And I'm just sitting there like, what am I going to do next year? And they call my name. And I was like, what? Like, I was just like in a fog. And then they were like, yeah, we picked you because you said you like to play defense. And I was like, yes.
That was the right answer.
Nailed the interview.
Yeah. So I was stoked about it. But that season was really – nailed the interview, but that was the hardest season I've done so far. My first season in Korea.
Physically or mentally? Yeah. I feel like mentally it'd be tough because you guys are just put up in dorms essentially, right? For 6 months and so, it's just confinement. You were quarantining before quarantine even happened.
Honestly, like I know how to survive quarantine because of Korea. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like I learned so many just unnecessary skills to pass the time. But my coach was like batshit crazy, honestly, and I was the only foreigner, and I had a translator who didn't know anything about volleyball. She had to learn volleyball, like, and the terminology, like U.S. volleyball terms and Korean terms are different, so she had to learn both and then be able to translate between the two, and it just never worked out. So that was like a big source of my frustration. And then the cultural change was really hard. But the first month I was there, like, I was probably, like, maybe borderline depressed. And because I was just alone. Like, it was so hard. And I would just call my family. Or actually, I would call Paul, my husband. And I'd be like, is it worth it? Do I need to be here? Do we need the money? Will we make it if I leave? And he's like, just stick it out, like, one more day, one more week. And, I mean, I stuck it out. But the training was brutal. Like, and I did live in a dorm. I lived on the first floor, and we would like eat and live on the first floor. We would do weights on the second floor, and we would train on the third floor. So if I didn't want to go outside, like there were days I didn't go outside. I would just stay in our building.
Yeah, that'll drive you nuts.
Yeah, and my coach lived next door to me, and his bathroom backed up to my bathroom. So in the morning, I could hear him like brush his teeth and hawk loogies. And then he'd walk out and go to practice. And I was like, this is just not okay. Yeah, it is wild. But we had a really good season. We won that year too. And then I actually ended up going back the next year to the same team, same coach.
Get that money.
I don't know. But I actually really liked the girls on the team. Like, though they didn't speak English, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a bit of a jokester, and I think that's gotten me like pretty far with teams because I learned like all the bad words first, and they think it's funny. And then there's just, I don't know, there's just ways where you can like lift spirits in practice, because practice was just very militaristic. Like, I knew what time of day it was based on what drill we were doing, because it was always the same, always 3 hours long. And yeah, it was crazy.
So then after your first season, then it's your second official summer with the national team, or first?
2016, I went to like Pan Am Cup in Dominican, but that was the Olympic summer. So I wasn't really training with like, I guess, a top group of girls. So 2017 was like, I went to Grand Prix that summer because a lot of the older girls had time off after the Olympic year because they didn't get much of a break. Mm-hmm.
In Japan.
I just remember Grand Prix because it was so fun. That was like the first time I met Carly Lloyd, Lauren Gibbenmeyer. They were my roommates. And just like kind of all of, I don't know, everyone. And I was like, what am I getting myself into? Like, these people know so much. They're so good at volleyball. Shit.
Yeah. So what was that transition like? Like, from obviously you're a good volleyball player going from college to pro, and you're finding yourself in pro, and then you find yourself in the national team gym and going to a couple tournaments.
And Carly's coming like fresh off of a Champions League win and all this stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It was like a little bit daunting, and I definitely was very, very nervous. But yeah, I'm just trying to think back to that summer. I think I was just basically nervous all of the time, like 100% of the time. I was like, what am I doing here? But yeah, I was just trying to play and have fun and like do the best that I could and just compete hard. But it was definitely a challenge, and I didn't feel like I was like cut out for it. I think it takes a lot of time to get used to just the level of play, because like I went from being like a big fish in a little pond to now like I'm a little fish in a big pond. Like, everyone here is good. Everyone here hits hard. And it's just been a long road of getting better, and it's definitely a process, but I've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah. So while you're in that mode of like, I'm nervous, I don't know if I belong, like, should I be here? How do you survive in that? And how do you get through that? What were the keys for you?
I think for me, it's just kind of going at it full force. Like, if I start to like fall into that trap of like being like, okay, yeah, I'm really nervous, like, can I do it? I don't know. It just doesn't work out well for me. But if I'm just like, hey, I'm here for a reason. I was asked to be here. Like, they believe you can do it. You need to believe you can do it. And so I just think that it kind of came from that place of just like, I'm here and I have to sack up and do it, basically.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of mindset.
Yeah. Definitely not easy. I think over time, like, I'm a huge like negative self-talker for sure. And I really, really would focus on errors. Like, when I was at Arizona, I could tell you how many errors I had before. I could tell you how many kills I had. And I would just count them. Yeah. So that's been like a long process of just being okay with making mistakes. Like, okay with making mistakes that are like acceptable.
Yeah, the right mistake. You know,
like, okay, yeah, I'm not getting blocked. Like, if I'm getting blocked straight down, I'm hitting right into the belly of a block. Not a great mistake to be making. But if I'm hitting high hands, which is like what I think that's like a part of my game that I've gotten pretty good at. You know, if I'm hitting high hands, but I'm barely missing a finger, like, that's an okay mistake to make. Like, at least I went for it, you know? But yeah, the negative self-talk was like a really, really big roadblock for me.
So are you conscious of that? Like, at this point in your career, now that you've had a lot of practice at it, are you conscious of that negative self-talk during practices or matches? Or is it more of a post-game, like, oh, I should have done this better or whatever?
I think now it's more post-game, and I kind of just focus on the play at hand or the moment at hand now. But like in the past, it would be like, okay, I made a mistake, and then I'd be like, I can't believe you just made that mistake. Like, you can't do that again. What the fuck are you doing? But now it's more just like, okay, I made a mistake, and it just rolls off my shoulder a little bit easier now. And it's more of just a post game, like, breakdown of, okay, I'm going to watch film. I'm going to see what I did wrong and how I could do better next time.
I feel like, well, I mean, I know you pretty well, but
that's awesome.
Yeah. it's a huge step, but like because in this series of podcasts that we've done, like the word vulnerability has come up a couple times. Has that also made you have to be more vulnerable with your teammates and being like reaching out and being like, hey, I'm really hard on myself. I don't need you to be exponentially harder on me, or like have you ever had to talk to them and be like, this is what I need from you. This is what I don't need from you, or just anything like that?
I think that's still a work in progress. Like, I think if you ask like a lot of my close friends, I have a big problem with vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, and growing up in my family, like I have a brother, you know, it was just like, you don't show emotion. You don't say how you're feeling, like just do your job, put your head down and grind. So I have a really hard time opening up and like asking for help and saying what I need and saying what's wrong. But I think that, you know, like my good friends, like on the national team, which I think I'm pretty close to, I mean, a good amount of people, I think they know what I need and how I perform best. And I've talked about it with them, but it's definitely hard, like being on a new team, and professionally you're on a new team every year.
Yeah.
Opening up and saying like, hey, this is how I like this and blah, 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 you know? It's hard for me, but I think that it's something that I could be better at for sure.
Piggybacking off of that real quick, did you, with vulnerability comes the ability to say how you're feeling, but also take how other people feel about something that you've done or something that you've mm-hmm. said. Do you feel like over time you've also been able to take it better than you were able to back in the past, and like it wasn't like so offensive? Because like you're saying at Arizona, like you would just put your head down and work, and you didn't relay so much community like information to people of like what you needed from them. And now playing at a higher level, are you able to both understand what somebody's saying quickly and just forget about it and relay that communication a little bit faster than it used to be?
Yeah, I think so. I think more now it's like this is my job and we need to get to like this point. So like certain things need to be said and certain things need to be done to get to that point. So like, I think that there's a way to get information to people. Like, okay, someone needs to tell me something. Like, I don't know. Like I was really good friends with my setter and a middle on my team this year. And they would tell me those things. And I think there's just certain people that can say certain things to you so that they click faster and that they make more sense. But, you know, like if it comes from someone who's, I don't know, like a middle who I didn't know and they're telling me something, and I'm not like super close with them, I'll still be like, I don't know if you know what you're talking about. Like I'm a little bit skeptical still.
For sure. Sure.
But yeah, I think that trusting your teammates definitely helps build that communication.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
You guys, yeah. It's much easier to hear something from someone you know than someone who you're not homies with.
Yeah, definitely.
Like to an extent, almost like if you know someone too well and you hear it, it's like such a dagger to the heart. And like exactly. if you don't know someone at all and they tell you something, you're just like, how did they pick that up? And like there's this like really like, fine line of like, do I listen to everything? Do I not listen to everything? But I think it probably just comes with time of understanding like why and how or what people are saying versus just taking everything face value.
Exactly. And I think overseas too, you get like a language barrier and like sometimes they're not saying exactly what they mean. You know what I'm saying? So I've gotten pretty, and like this happened a lot when I was actually in Korea. Like my translator would say what my coach was saying and he was just a yeller. And she would say like, okay, he's saying some really bad words and he's saying this. And I was just like, well, all right. I don't understand what he's saying. And it's actually kind of nice. Like it's a little bit freeing for me that I don't understand like what he's yelling at me, because then it doesn't like connect to me as hard emotionally. So I don't know. I think too, I've just gotten pretty good at like selective hearing, which may not good, but if it's something that I think is going to help me, then I'll take it. But if not, it's like, okay, well, thanks for your 2 cents, but I don't need it.
Yeah, like I remember when I played in Czech, we lost like 2 matches in a row and it felt like the world was ending, you know? Mm-hmm. And so our coach pulls us in, and we had – everybody was Czech except myself and a Polish guy. And the Czechs are really blunt, and they're really vulgar, and everything has to do with either sex or beer. Like, that's, like, their whole life. So he pulls us in, and he goes – he's like, I don't know what's been happening. Either you guys are drinking too much or having too much sex. I don't know what your guys' deal is, but we're not Brazil. We're not Italy. We're not Polish. I don't know what Americans do, but if you guys are doing that shit, you guys got to stop. We need to sober up, and we got to be celibate for the next month. And I was like, if that's really what you think is going to make us better volleyball players, like...
it's like, yeah, how does that relate to pass that hit?
Yeah, I was like, I think we're just pretty lazy in practice, and this is kind of affecting us. But hey, man, if this is what you think, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like,
but they had to but they had to translate to me, and I'm just sitting there dying laughing, you know, and all these other guys have their head down because he's screaming it at them, and I was, the Polish guy and I are dying. We're like, this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard.
It's pretty nuts. Yeah, my Korean coach would yell like all the time, and he'd like point his finger in my face during timeouts, basically saying like, you need to score more, we need you to do this. And I would like, I sweat a lot, so I'd always have a sweat towel like up to my face, and I would just start laughing behind the towel. I was like, this is, laughing about this for me is the best way to just let it like roll off my back and go through it. And I, so, you know, like, I've just found ways to kind of cope with all of that. Yeah.
So I have, I guess it's more of like a personal question for you, and you've made a lot of rosters, and you haven't been selected to some rosters that you probably felt like you deserved or don't deserve, whatever, right? But like, how do you cope with it? And how do you like keep moving forward and being like, it's fine. Like, I'm just, the next one's mine. I can do this. Like, how do you keep maintaining confidence?
Well, for me, I'm training with the best people in the world.
Yeah.
And like, if I start comparing myself to the person to my left or my right, like, I think that's a recipe for disaster. And when I first got to the gym, I was like, okay, that's Jordan Larson. Shit, like, she's pretty good. Am I gonna, you know? And then you just start, it's like a snowball, you know?
Yeah.
So I think over time, it's just gotten to a point where it's like, I'm competing against myself. Yeah. And okay, if I'm not making a roster, like, okay, look at the other outside hitters who are in front of me on this roster. Like, they're phenomenal. And I mean, stats don't lie. Like, they have good stats. Mine could be better. And I'm fully aware of that. And I think just realizing that, like, I have so much room to grow. Like, when people ask me, do you want to play volleyball anymore? I'm like, yeah, like, I have so much room to get better. And I have so much work I still want to do. And I'm not near the player that I want to be. So I realize that there's room for potential. And it's more just competing against myself rather than competing against the other people who are in the gym, because I think that would probably make me go crazy.
That is such a good message to so many different athletes
and people.
Just trying to better yourself despite what's going on outside of your control. That's so easy. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it's definitely not easy. It's probably harder than comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah, and then especially with, like, where in the professional sense, like, now you see people getting jobs that maybe you wanted that job, or getting, like, this money, and you're like, okay, now I'm competing for, like, a livelihood, and I think even that can get, like, disheartening at times. But, yeah, like, I think that the work I've put in thus far has – I mean, like, I'm content with where I've gotten with my volleyball career, and I know I have so much more room to grow, but I think comparison is the thief of joy. That's a quote that I like.
Comparison is the thief of joy. I love that.
Yeah. So that's kind of just something that sits in the back of my mind. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So we've heard we've heard on this podcast live that you guys have been having some like Zoom calls with the national team and trying to create a better culture. And the biggest thing that we took away is each individual is trying to figure out something that they want to bring to the table and get better at. And the question that Jordan posed was, who are you and what do you stand for?
Oh, God.
And we were like, this is just the best question. So, Maddie Kingdom.
This is a little big question.
Who are you and what do you stand for?
Oh, man. This is a heavy question. Who am I? Shoot, guys. I don't know. Who am I, like, in general or as a volleyball player? Or just in life?
In life. Yeah, in life.
Yeah, I think in life.
Like probably one leads to the other.
I feel like this needs time to be thought about. But I guess I could just... Can we, like, circle back to this?
Sure.
Yeah, we can circle back to it. I think the most valuable part of that, sorry, Jackson, is what do you stand for? And that usually describes who you are.
I've been reading this book, and something that really resonated with me that I've been like actually thinking about a lot during quarantine is just the idea of lifting others up. And I think that that's like something that I would want to stand for, is just like lifting up other people and putting others first, kind of in everything. Cause I've been on a team sport and I think it's not really about me. It's more about the team. It's more about the we instead of the me. And I don't know, just with my family, my marriage, like I want to uplift others and be like more servant to other people before thinking about myself.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Like for me, I always think of it from like a legacy standpoint. So every club or every person that I play with, I always want them to think like, wow, he was a good volleyball player, but he was a better guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what I stand for. I just want to be a better person. I want people to think I'm a better person than I ever was a volleyball player.
Yeah, that's nice, Matt.
Thank you.
A good one.
Yeah. Thanks.
Attaboy, Maddie.
I try. All right, Jackie, what do you got?
So a couple random questions for you, Maddie.
Okay.
When you got to college, who was the first person to give you the business?
Yeah, who dismantled
Freaking Dominique Lamb. This girl who housed me on day one. Literally day one. Dominique Lamb. She coaches now, I think, in Rhode Island. Or maybe she's a nurse. She loves coaching. Yeah. She was a coach and now she's a nurse.
Who was the first person to give you the business when you walked in the gym?
USA gym?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Luca gives everybody the business, so she doesn't count.
I don't know. Well, because my first summer when I was there, like, all the older girls were gone.
Oh, that's true. Well, even better. Let's hear the young kid. Was that killed you?
I'm trying to think of who was there, because we were training to go to Dominican Republic. No one gave me the business that Stop I can think
it.
Of.
Stop it. Stop it. No one gave you the business. Actually, you know what? Micah and Maddie both have answered with a defender.
Really?
Well, like Micah said, as a defender, Karsta gave her the business. And Maddie said Nat Hagelin. Nat Hagelin gave them the business because she had 50 digs in one match.
Oh, but that wasn't at the gym.
No, I'm just saying. I'm giving you examples here. It doesn't have to be as a blocker.
Gotcha.
You could have got blown up receiving, which I'm sure happened once or twice that summer.
Probably. Yeah, honestly, it would be Micah. Fucking serve. Because that's she's serving awesome. Right at me.
Yeah.
And all it does is just, you're just shanking it nowhere near the court. It's just going to the stands to your left. Yeah.
There you go. Well, whatever. Maddie, I think we're good here.
Well, Maddie and Maddie. I think we're good here.
Is other Maddie also there?
Maddie is right here.
Well, Maddie.
Madison!
Well, no, Maddie, but really, thank you for coming on and taking the time to hang out with us and talk shop.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
Of course. No, seriously, thank you so much. It was really awesome to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share my story. This is like probably the first time I've ever talked about it. And
really?
Yeah, in like full, extensive story. Yeah, I don't think I've ever done this.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys.